What'd you say, Lee?
150th birthday.
Oh, okay. Let's open the Bible's book of Genesis, chapter 3. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Had a good crowd this morning, considering with all the things going on. 70 is, we're thankful for anybody that comes out. So we're glad to have you here this evening. This message this evening, I'm going to title it, The Greatest Liars. The Greatest Liars. And what I'm going to do, oh, I got 5 points, so we'll see how that goes. I think I could do this in one shot, so that's what I'm going to try to do. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, what we're going to look at is verses 1 through 7. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said? So he's questioning God. That's the first thing. It's a kind of a questioning kind of. Yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, that we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye what? Lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for the God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All right, now verse 6 is what I often call the sin path, and I want you to listen to it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, and she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it to her husband, with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, that they and made themselves aprons. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your house again this evening. We're thankful for the fine number we had this morning. We're thankful that the Lord is for all the blessings that you've given this little church. Amen. And Father, we pray that for the radio broadcast, and we pray for sermon audio and all the things that we got going out. And Father, we know that you're in charge of things. And Father, we pray that continue to see people saved and people coming in and being a part of the great message of salvation by grace through faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, again, the message title is going to be The Greatest Liars. Greatest Liars in Scripture. I think I've got 5 of them all told that I'll share with you. One of the big problems in the whole wide, wide world is people lie. There's all kinds of liars. Y'all believe it? There's just all kinds of people that lie, and there's different ways that people lie. One thing that's great if you're born again, if someone's born again, God's people should be people that don't lie. All God's people say it. You should be able to count on that. What you say should be truth. What you say and what you do should be truth. But there's a lot of people that profess to be Christians, but all they do is lie. I've seen people that profess to be saved, but all they do is lie. And that's just not a good testimony. When someone's been born again, we say it a million times, old things pass away when you're born again. And all things becomes new. And beloved, I want you to know this. I look for people to be new when they're born again. If they're not new, I think there's something wrong with it. All God's people say it. I've got a problem with that. I think that I really believe that when a sinner person has been made alive, they'll be a change that will change them forever. all God's people say it. That's the way it's supposed to be, and you should see that in your life. Lie number one is going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 1 through 8. And this would probably be the, sometimes you can go through it and see different types of lies in the text. Genesis chapter 3, and we want to look at 1 through 8 again. Now, the serpent was more subtle as the beasts of the fields, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God what? Yea, hath God said. Now, he's questioning, isn't he? Y'all notice that? Yea, hath God said. Like God's got something hiding from him or something, you see? And Satan works that way. He works that way. He's very subtle in the things that he does. There's only one devil, but there's thousands, millions of false prophets, and Satan's everywhere. Through his fallen angels, they're everywhere. And it's a frightening thing. Sometimes I've done studies on demonology. And demonology is a great study to look at. But, beloved, you got to understand, there's demons in the world. There's demons in this world. And they're around everywhere. And there's, just as you got fallen angels, but then you have the demons. And they're still here. They're still here. They're not in hell. They're active on the earth. And you want to know something else? They know who God's people are. I did a sermon one time. Does the devil know your name? Does the devil know your name? And I think that's a good thing to think about, because there's a lot of people that profess faith in Jesus, but they don't have the walk that goes along with it. There has to be a walk that goes along with it. I think the greatest thing for somebody is, I've talked about this before. I always figured I want to be true. Listen to me now. I want to be true when nobody else is around. Because when I'm by myself and I want to be true where God sees. I ain't out to please people. I really ain't. I don't try to please people. I try to be kind and things to people, but I want to be sober, righteous, and godly in this world. And I want to please the Lord. And I want to close out my tenor here eventually. I want to do that eventually so that I can continue to serve the Lord. I think it's one of the greatest things you can possibly do is to do that. So lie number one was the lie of Satan. And here's what he said. Let's move down a little bit farther here. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely what? There's your lie. He's the father of a lie. He told a lie right off. And you're never acting more like Satan than when you lie. He was a liar from the beginning. And beloved, God's people shouldn't be a liar. God's people should be a liar. And I don't want to be a liar either. We want to be steadfast. We want to be true. And we want our grandbabies to see that in their grandmas and grandpas and all that. Don't you think? Old timers used to be very funny about about what they say. They want to be true. And I want to be true also. I want my grandsons and to be able to see that their papa loves the Lord. I want them to see that. I want them to have a eternal life. I want them to have eternal life. I already got eternal life. Did you hear what I just said? Already got it. And beloved, if you haven't trusted Jesus as Savior, then you don't have eternal life. You know, I got ready to show you. I have a stack of papers, because I always use these little things here. I got a stack of papers that's this deep right here. Funerals. One right after the other. Funerals, 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 funerals. Constantly, constantly. Do I like doing them? I like to spread. I like to share the gospel. And a lot of times you're dealing with people that are in a hard way, and I like to love on them a bit. You know what I'm saying? And I do. I'll hug on them a bit and say, boy, I'm sorry for your loss. And if anything I can do to help you, but you know the greatest thing I can do for them is tell them about Jesus. Tell them about everlasting life. Because if you die without Jesus, it's over. It's over. There's nothing that can be done after that. There ain't no excuse for it if you've heard it. There's no excuse for it. If you've never trusted Jesus and you've heard this preacher say it over and over again. I don't know how many times I've talked to lost men. They came to church. They died without Jesus. And guess who does their funeral? I do it. And I'm glad to do it. I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying it hurts you. It's hard to do a funeral of a lost man. As a matter of fact, there's nothing you can, listen to me, there's nothing you can do except what? I can preach to their family. I've had, a lot of people don't like it either. So there's people who don't like it, and some people appreciate it. But I've heard them say, boy, he's a little preachy, ain't he? Well, you need a little preachy. People need a little preachy if people don't know the Lord. Lost people need to hear it. I want them to have everlasting life. Blood, I just bore over for lost souls. It just bore over for them. I want people to have everlasting life. People that listen to me, I said, oh, I just so hope that everybody under my voice, I hope you've all trusted Jesus, because that's the most important thing in the world that you can have. You could have $1 trillion. And if you die without eternal life, you'll go off with nothing. Nothing. It'll stay behind for somebody else to take over it. Ain't worth nothing. Just ain't worth nothing. The greatest thing you can have is everlasting life. Satan's a liar. Lie number one, Satan is a liar. He said, ye shall not surely what? Ye shall not surely what? Ye shall not surely die. That's the first lie. That's the first lie. Ye shall not surely die. And you think from that day all the way down to the day, how many trillions of people have died without Jesus. And you know what the Lord's done for us? And let me ask you, what has the Lord done for us? He's opened our hearts. He's opened our understanding. And he's given us the opportunity to hear about Jesus and what salvation really is. That's the greatest thing you can hear, but you have to trust it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to trust it. You got to more than believe. Well, I believe God exists. Well, sure he exists. You got to trust him as Savior. That's what has to be done. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. And I want you to have everlasting life. All God's people say it. All right, that's lie number one. Lie number one. Okay? Let's look at lie number two. Let's turn to Genesis 12. I need to move. I want to get this done this evening. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, 10 through 20. And this one right here is the lie of Abraham. Now, we looked at the lie of Satan, but now what I want to show you is the lie of Abraham. And you know what? The greatest of men is, the greatest of men are just plain men. This is Abram. Abraham. What did he do? Well, he lied. Genesis chapter 12. And let's look down at verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. That's Abram and Abraham, same people. And it came to pass when he was near to Egypt, he said unto Sarah, his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art fair." So Sarah was a good-looking woman. And you know what he got afeard of? He got afeard that the men of the place there where they went to, afraid that it's going to kill him and take her. And who are we talking about? We're talking about Abraham. Let's read down. "Therefore it came to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say that this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they'll save thee alive. Say, I pray thee." Here's Abraham's lie. "Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister." It was his wife. Boy, that's a lot of courage, wasn't it? I mean, Abraham is one of our heroes, aren't they? But he, "Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." That's the lie of Abraham. Absolute was it not true. You see, when we look at these great men of the Scriptures, I want you to know something. The greatest of men are but men. And many of them sinned in horrible ways, just like the one we just looked at. Okay? Abraham's in the Christ line. He's even in the Christ line. But you know, beloved, let me tell you something. We ain't no better. Let me say it one more time. We ain't no better. We seek to live sober and righteous and godly in this world, but we don't know what everybody thinks, do we? I'm glad everybody don't know what I think. Amen. Let me say it one. I'm glad people don't know what I think sometimes. Yeah. There'll be a day, beloved, when this old flesh, hey, I still live in a flesh body. I'm sick of this thing. Sick of it. I wished I was perfect, but there ain't no closer to that. Yeah, not even getting close to it. God's people, like we said, we're to seek to live before the sinner people of the world. We're to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. So you see the lie of Abraham. Now, number three. Let's turn to Matthew 26 and verse 69. Okay. 26. "Now Peter sat without the palace." This is when Simon Peter lied. And we're talking about, we're talking about men of God and people of God, and But what you'll find out is you can't make heroes out of the people in the Bible. Some of them you can, but all of them were sinner people. Beloved, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. And if it wasn't for God's grace, beloved, I'd still be right smack dab in the midst of the sins that I used to be in. So Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel come. Now he's lying. He's getting ready to lie. Are you ready? Now Peter sat without in the place, and the damsel came with him, saying, "Thou wast with Jesus. Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee." At that time, Jesus had been put on trial, and the disciples fell apart. See, like I said, the greatest of men is but men. We ain't stronger than everybody else. You know what I mean? And notice what happens. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto her. Thou also was with Jesus in Galilee. Here's what Peter said in verse 70. But he denied. He denied it. He denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." He said he didn't know him. He said he didn't know him. Simon Peter. I used to say he's the man. Simon Peter's the man. Hey, listen to me. He's a sinner saved by grace, just the same as you're a sinner saved by grace. This old flesh body we're living in can pull you down if you let it. Beloved, that's why I study all the time. I study all the time. I read the scriptures all the time. I want to get, not just for preaching. I do it for myself. You know why I do it for myself? So I can be strong. So that's why every day of my life I've spent time with the Lord. I take prayer walks with the Lord. Out Plymouth Hollow. I go up Plymouth Hollow two miles. And I'll talk to the Lord. I told you this before. I used to do it around the house, but too many people could hear me. Because I guess I'd get happy or something, but I'd get back there and I'd start praying. And the boys would come out and they said, "Jeff, they're wondering who you're talking to." I said, "Just tell them I'm talking to the Lord." That's what I'm just talking to the Lord. I was happy that my boys could hear that I was talking to who? Lord. Let me tell you something, men. They ought to hear you talking to the Lord too. They need to hear you talking to the Lord. That's a marvelous, most marvelous thing that you can possibly have, okay? Poor Simon Peter, he hit rock bottom right here. And after a while he came, this verse 73, and after a while he came and they stood by and they said to Peter, surely you're one of them. They keep asking him about it because his speech be like, I'm a West Virginian. A West Virginian talks different. You know what I'm saying? They talk a little bit different. I love that little drawl we have, don't you think? Don't you think? Yeah, I love that little drawl we got. But Peter was called out from this thing. He said he denied with an oath. He took an oath. Peter took an oath. I do not know the man. Who is this again? Simon Peter. And you're not, listen to me, you're not above it either. There's some things that can blow in your life and get you in a mess. If it could happen to Simon Peter, it could happen to you. He was a man after God's own heart, buddy, I tell you. Now notice what he does in verse 74. Remember, we're talking about Simon Peter. They began to, then began he, this is Simon Peter, to curse and to swear. Simon who?
Peter.
Why'd he do it? Somebody tell me why he does it. He's scared. He's scared to death. The Romans were mean. So he was scared. And he said he didn't know him. There's a lot of Christians today that say they're saved, but you couldn't tell it from their lifestyle. You couldn't tell it from what they do and say and where they go. Y'all agree? Let me tell you a little something. I've said this a billion times here at this church. I want to be clean where God sees. I want to be clean where God sees. I can't stand a fake. I just can't stand a fake. God's people should be what? Somebody tell me. Real. I want to be real. All God's people say it. Okay, let me move down and get down to verse 4. Mark chapter 14, verse 21. I'll start up at verse 20. And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. He was telling this. This is talking about Judas. It says, the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good were it for that man if he had never been born. Why would that be better? Why would it be better if you'd never been born? You'd never go to hell. But if you've never been born again, and you die without Jesus, I believe in heaven. You? I believe in heaven. All my heart. Believe I'm going. I'm not feared of it. Ready to go up is what we used to say at the drum playing all the time. I'm ready. They say, preacher, how you doing? I say, we're ready to go up. And I am. But there's a lot of people that ain't ready to go up. And you know why they do it? They just kind of push it off. Might be some other day. Well, Jesus might not come today, but you might die today too. Hey, you see what? You might die today too. You've heard the message over and over again, but you've never trusted the message. So if you die that way, there's nothing I can do. You have to have everlasting life. All right, James chapter 4, and I'll stop. Let's get worked up again. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and this is, we looked at, let me catch you back up. Lie number one was Satan's lie. You shall not surely die, which was a what? The awfulest lie there was. Number two, the lie of Abraham. He was into Christ's land, but he lied. Abraham, he lied. Number three, the lie of Simon Peter, he lied and said he didn't know Jesus. He said he didn't know him. I don't know him. So, and then number four, lie of Judas, the lie of Judas, he lied. And the scripture says it'd been better for that man. Here's what Jesus said. It'd been better for that man if he'd never been born. And then number five, this is the last one. Let's turn to James 4:17. We'll quit. James 4:17. There's also a lie of presumption. There's also a lie of presumption. And in James 7:14, it says this, therefore him that knows to do good, him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. It's a sin of omission. We say, well, I didn't do anything. That's exactly right. You didn't. You didn't do anything to make things right. The lie of presumption. Well, beloved, I'm going to stop with that, and I hope you're blessed by it. The message titles The Greatest Liars.